Hello, Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Peggy in Paradise podcast number 208 on July 17th, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. How do you do that? Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Support My Work button on my website. If you do go to Patreon and try and do a search for Ruby Ryder, you're not going to find me, because my adult content makes me unsearchable. So just go to the website and click that thing on the right that says Support My Work. Okay, another way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to EnticeMe.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You will be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. All right, let's do a patron and donor check-in.
Yes.
Ken is my new patron. Oh my gosh, Ken signed up for $20 a month. Ken, thank you so much for your support. I really, really appreciate it. Thanks for becoming a patron. All right, let's get to your letters. Hello, madam. I want to discuss a weird situation. I am a married man who has a good, successful career and a happy, healthy life. I married my college friend about a year ago. I found her very beautiful and attractive. Moreover, she was kind, caring, loving, independent, and courageous. This made me fall in love with her. She revealed that she fell for me because of my good looks, self-confidence, courage, wisdom, voice, and kindness. We have been a normal couple since the start. However, of late, she has started behaving weirdly, such as hitting me on my bum, caressing my bum, touching my lips with her fingers, and trying to do stuff that I normally do, such as repair work, minor plumbing, etc. It feels as if she wants to take over my position or something. A few days back, she just crossed all barriers and brought a strap-on dildo and kept it on my study table, and looked into my eyes with a stern, domineering look with a naughty smirk. That day, I blasted her, and she hid that thing somewhere out of my sight. I have not spoken to her since 4 days. I feel insulted. I do not understand what has happened to her. Is this normal behavior? How can she ask me to do this? Could you please help? Okay. This is an interesting letter. This is one of those letters that makes me wonder if it's real. But whenever I have a suspicion that it's not real, I just voice my concern that maybe it's not a real letter and somebody made this up. And then I go ahead and answer it as if it's real, because I don't want to be judge and jury as to what someone made up and what they didn't. I'm just going to take you guys seriously, whatever you send in. The first observation I'm going to make is that you seem very, very invested in there being very specific roles for you and your wife. And I don't see a lot of lap over. You talk about her trying to take over your role when she did minor repair things. So that's the first observation I want to make. I don't believe that there's anything that dictates what jobs you have to do or what role you have to play in a marriage according to what gender you are. You can do whatever you want. Now, I hear you that everything has been what you would call normal, which is probably society's expectations of what gender roles you both play so far. And now it sounds like she's mixing it up a little bit. Now, one of the most common pieces of advice I read on forum boards anywhere where people are asking questions definitely applies here. You need to talk with her because nothing is going to magically resolve itself without you guys sitting down and communicating. I would urge you to be a little bit open-minded about what she's doing here, because what she's really doing, and now I'm talking about the strap-on thing, right? What she's really doing is, in perhaps not the best way, in kind of an awkward way, she is showing you something that turns her on that she would like to explore with you. So she's revealing a deeper layer of herself to you, and that is actually a gift of intimacy for you, her husband. So you get to decide whether or not you want to do that or not. You don't sound real positive about it, which kind of makes me laugh because, you know, I'm sure you found my website and you thought you'd write in and ask for some advice because this situation is difficult for you. But you also sound really, really negative about pegging. And I'm not. It's my passion. I love it. I teach about it. I think it's amazing. And I think it is something that any man who has any inkling that he would like to explore it would do well to dive in and see what it's like. I suspect that you have a lot of misconceptions around what pegging means. I imagine that you might be attaching all kinds of meanings to this sexual act that she wants to do. But before we go down that road, one of the most important things for you two to do is to sit down and talk about this, because if she wants to be more dominant, she needs to just sit down and talk with you about being more dominant in your relationship. No dominant-submissive dynamic exists until you sit down and you talk about one and you negotiate it. Now, it's possible that she just got this idea in her head that she wanted to do this, so she thought she'd sort of act it out, and it felt rather abrupt and unexpected to you, is what it sounds like. But please communicate with each other, because what's happening here is she's doing something, you're reacting, and then you triangulate it by coming to me. Triangulate in a communication sense means that clearly you have the issue with her, because it says that you haven't spoken to her for 4 days, which I find very, very sad. But who are you talking to? You're talking to me. You need to be talking to her. But you also need to be talking to her calmly, without thinking she's trying to do a horrible thing to you. And probably the best way to do that is to listen to podcast number 112. Now, I recorded podcast number 112 for women. However, what it does is it goes through all of the different myths and misconceptions about what pegging is and isn't. And then with that accurate information, it allows you to then make an informed decision about whether this is something you are interested in exploring with your wife. Unless you are absolutely 100% sure that you don't want to do this, if there's any part of you that's interested, then I would suggest you listen to podcast number 112. The letter that you sent in to me sounded so negative about the pegging that I don't have a whole lot of hope that you're going to listen to podcast number 112, but I urge you to. There are some horizons of sexuality that can be explored that are absolutely amazing and can bring you incredible amounts of pleasure. So you say that you feel insulted. Probably you feel insulted because you have some misconceptions. You might have a misconception that pegging means that you're gay or bisexual. That is absolutely incorrect. If you are with your wife and happy and married, you are not gay or bisexual. You might have a misconception that it will turn you bisexual or gay. And that is absolutely false as well. If you have by curiosity inside you somewhere and you've thought about doing it with men, that you might find yourself a little bit more bi curious. But no, it will not change your sexual orientation. Some people also think of it as being a really humiliating thing. It can be if humiliation is something that turns you on, but it doesn't have to be. Pegging can simply be one more way to make love. And actually, I get tons and tons and tons of letters from people, from couples, who have told me that when they started pegging, their relationship got so much deeper, that their intimacy deepened between them, and amazing things happened. It can revive a stale relationship. It can provide new areas to explore for an existing relationship that isn't that old. It can be one more thing in your sexual treasure chest of choices. So I would encourage you not to feel insulted, to take a deep breath, listen to podcast number 112, and then ask your wife if you can sit down and talk with her. You don't want to do this in bed. You don't want to do it when she's hoping you're going to have sexy times or anything like that. But when someone makes an overture toward you and reveals that they have this desire or fantasy to do something sexual with you, it's always a really good idea, even if it's something that freaks you out, to just take a deep breath and sit with it for a little bit and not get mad at them if it's something that you don't want. It's still something that she would like, clearly. She's not wrong for wanting it. It's just now up to you to decide whether or not it's something you want to do with her. But please don't blast her. She gave you a gift of intimacy by admittedly, awkwardly revealing that she would like to fuck you with a strap on. And I think fucking men with a strap on is an absolutely lovely thing. Why would I not? That's what my whole website is about. What happened to her? You said you don't understand what happened to her. Well, sometimes when people read things, look at things on the internet, think about things, they think about something that they would like to explore. Who knows? She may have been fantasizing about this for a long time and finally decided to do something about it. So is this normal behavior, you're asking? Take the word normal and throw it away. We all have different expressions of our sexuality, and as long as it's consensual and it doesn't hurt anyone, it's all okay. There is no normal sexuality. Whatever turns you on, turns you on. Whatever turns her on, turns her on. So before I leave you here, I would like to mention to you that men who have had pegging done describe an orgasm that is achieved by concurrent stimulation of their prostate through the pegging and their penis. Doing those things both at the same time, if you have an orgasm, the vast majority of men describe orgasms achieved that way as roughly 10 times as powerful as a normal orgasm. So, if there's any part inside you that would like to explore this, there would be some incentive. There would definitely be some incentive. I'm sorry that this has felt so jarring to you and that she has stepped outside of the prescribed lines of behavior that you have expected from her, but I encourage you to open your mind and explore and be open to trying new things, because you never know if you're going to like it unless you try it. Listen to podcast number 112. I'm going to put the link for that in my Linkorama. And good luck to you. I hope you guys work it out. It's sad when people aren't talking to each other. It's very sad. So, yes, listen to that podcast and see if you can work it through with your wife. Thank you for the letter. Okay, so I'm going to springboard off of this letter, and I'm going to talk a little more about the male vulnerability and expected behavior of men in society. You know, this is something I keep coming back to, but it's fascinating to me how much it affects pegging. It really is. So I found another video that I think it would be awesome for you guys to take a look at, and the women too, but especially the guys. I don't think that I have linked to this before, or if I have, it's been a long time ago. This man's name is Tony Porter, and I do believe this is another TED Talk. So he did this TED Talk called A Call to Men, Why You Should Listen. Tony Porter is an author, educator, and activist working to advance social justice issues. As the co-founder of A Call to Men, Tony is internationally recognized for his efforts to prevent violence against women while promoting healthy, respectful manhood. Tony's 2010 TED Talk has been named by GQ magazine as one of the top 10 TED Talks every man should see. And then there's this fascinating little paragraph here. Research by Harvard School of Public Health found that those who suppress their emotions are one-third more likely to die prematurely than people who regularly express what they are feeling. Issues of rage, anxiety, depression, and unhealthy coping mechanisms can manifest. According to the CDC, the suicide rate is 4 times higher in men than in women. And that acronym is the Center for Disease Control. So what he advocates in this talk, allowing boys to embrace and express a full range of emotions, allowing men and boys to cry, validating men and boys' feelings, allow men and boys to act and be afraid, let men and boys ask for help. And for the men and boys themselves, what he advocates is value women and treat all people equally. Never use power, control, or violence. Never use gender-based attributes to bully or discriminate. Do not make or laugh at sexist jokes. Don't perpetuate negative stereotypes. Listen to women and validate their experiences. Embrace female friendships. Model a healthy, respectful manhood to other men and boys. And what he talks about is getting out of the man box, and he describes it really well. So I'm going to move on from here, but I'm going to put a link to that, and that's a really cool thing to watch for everybody, certainly for the men, but also for the women who are with the men. I think it really pays to understand what your guy is going through around all this, because it gives you a lot more compassion for the struggles that are inherent in being raised with these expectations, being raised in the box, and now trying to do the work to get out of it. It also, I believe, creates more compassion inside to not expect them to react like a woman. Because, you know, around all this stuff, we don't have the issues here that men do because we've been raised completely differently. So it's all too easy to say, well, why in the hell can't you just express that you're sad? Yeah, it's not that easy. We were not raised that way. So anyway, there you go. I'm going to put the link in the Linkorama, and I have one more for you that I found. It's kind of cool because you go to TED Talks and they have, oh, you might like this one. This is related to that too. And this one is a guy named Justin Baldoni, and he titled his TED Talk, Why I'm Done Trying to Be Man Enough. And I'm just going to tell you this one part that really struck me, so I took it down and I'm going to read it to you. I challenge you to see if you can use the same qualities that you feel make you a man to go deeper into yourself, your strength, your bravery, your toughness. Can we redefine what those mean and use them to explore our hearts? Are you brave enough to be vulnerable, to reach out to another man when you need help, to dive headfirst into your shame? Are you strong enough to be sensitive, to cry whether you are hurting or you're happy, even if it makes you look weak? Are you confident enough to listen to the women in your life, to hear their ideas and their solutions, to hold their anguish and actually believe them, even if what they're saying is against you? And will you be man enough to stand up to other men when you hear locker room talk, when you hear stories of sexual harassment, when you hear your boys talking, and do something so that one day we don't have to live in a world where a woman has to risk everything and come forward to say the words, me too? Yeah, that was very, very poignant. That was a good one too. So I'm going to put the links to both of those for you people out there who are interested in deeper and further explorations of this whole men, vulnerability, communication, emotions, that whole subject that we kind of started delving into in podcast 200. We kind of dove right into that with Michelle and Paul. So yes, this is a further exploration of that, and more links for you to listen to. And who knows, you listen to it and that one may not strike you, but I keep putting these links up here because different things appeal to different people. It could be that one link is so-so to you and just exactly what someone else needed to hear. So yes, you will find those in the Linkorama, Jason Baldoni and Tony Porter. So now I'm going to springboard off this whole idea of male vulnerability, and I'm going to read you something that I found on Reddit, posted by a man who I feel is very comfortable with his vulnerability. This was posted in the Pegging Unkinked group in Reddit, and the title of it is Pegged for Real, Finally. There have been a few times my wife and I have enjoyed mutual anal play before, and we had tried pegging before with limited success, usually abbreviated by inexperience and almost always when we've had a few. A little satisfying, but never what either of us really wanted. Turns out, we just needed to wait for her to have a bad day at work. We had mentioned a few nights ago we wanted to try again soon. I was home all day and heard from her at various times about how frustrated she was getting. I go full good husband mode and try to think what I can do when she gets home to help her de-stress. That's when the light bulb in my head flips on. Military guy here, usually a little dominant in bed, until today. I let her walk in and see me exactly like I'd want to see her, just ready for it. I was barely ready. About 20 sweaty minutes later, we both learned a valuable lesson. I learned she can throw me around too when properly motivated. She learned that what's good for the goose is good for the gander. This may be on the menu a lot more often. So everybody responded and went, wow, that's really hot, that's awesome, and asked the guy, you know, come on, details, details. The only thing he offered in addition was this, and then he said, you know, if you want more than this, you're going to have to direct message me, private message me, right? And so here is the additional material that he offered. I set the stage, left a few notes through the house. First one said, sometimes after a bad day. The second one said, you need a place to put all that energy. Last note was on the shut bedroom door and said, I'm here for you and I'm all yours. Harness was hanging on the doorknob. She opened the door. I was laying on the bed, on my side, legs at 90 degrees in front of me. Hands, I'd used an old bondage kit, so they were above my head, and I had a small prostate stimulator in place. The last note on the bed said, shh, take what you want. Okay, that's freaking hot, man. That's totally hot. And clearly this is something that this guy's been fantasizing about for a while. I'm not sure if he's been fantasizing about the submissive part, but he's been fantasizing about just getting aggressively fucked, right? And there's a fair amount of men out there who really want to experience that. It takes a while to get to it because in the beginning, the learning curve is steep. Perhaps there's some fear of hurting your partner. And plus, the muscles aren't there, the smoothness of using that strap-on is not quite there yet. That's something that you get with experience. But I love the way he set this up. In fact, I love it so much that it inspired a story. So I wrote another erotic story, and I entitled it What I Wanted. And I sent him a link to the story. I put it in the Dropbox, because every time someone inspires a story really specifically like that, I always send it to them and thank them. So I haven't heard back or anything. I did that this morning. I finished the story last night. But oh my God, what a hot story. Holy crap. I mean, his and the one I wrote, I have no idea if what I wrote resembles what he went through. But of course, you know, it's one of my hooks. It's the military guy giving it all up and not being dominant and saying, just fucking do it, right? Oh yeah. Okay, that definitely inspired me. So this would be an example of a man who in everyday life sounds like he's quite masculine, military, and all that kind of stuff. And yet, he was comfortable letting all that go and letting her have her way with him. Not just comfortable with it, he asked for it. So that, to me, is someone who's quite confident in his masculinity and not thinking that pegging is going to screw that up somehow. Okay, and here now we have a letter from someone who is actually doing a lot of self-play. And the self-play stuff is really cool. That's as far as this guy has gotten, but let me read to you the letter he sent. Dear Ruby, I know I'm not gay and I know I love my wife, but next week I'm looking forward to some alone time as my wife and kid are out of town. I'm announcing my self-pleasure week. The anticipation is so incredible. With my wife and kid going on vacation without me for 10 days, I've never been more excited in my life to be all by myself, almost like a new partner without cheating and preparing to have sex for the first time. Is there something wrong with me? My sex life is pretty vanilla, and life, work, kid has taken control of me and has held in my sexual desires. As a physician, I feel that I'm always the one telling people what to do, how to do it, and how to make everybody feel better. Then I come home, and I have to be the dominant male in the family. Maybe this is my way of showing my submissive side, which I wish I had more of. So you might ask, how did I find pleasure in anal play? In the past, I've always done coffee enemas for medical benefits, and always knew for some reason they felt good to me. The fullness and the touching down there was something I found exciting and pleasurable. I also have attempted and experimented with backdoor solo play a handful of times many years ago, but I never really understood it until I started to listen to your podcasts, and something clicked. After a few weeks of catching up with most of your podcasts, I have determined how to make the best of this 10 days alone. I have purchased my self-pleasuring accessories in advance. They are hidden in the basement, a box full of goodies. From a Vixen Mustang realistic dildo to a strap-on and a nice size butt plug and, of course, lots of lube, all products I purchased were mentioned and highly recommended on your shows. I also bought a couple of women's lingerie outfits for me to wear during my fun time. Something about putting on silky and sexy clothing tight against my skin just makes me tingle inside. I'm still in somewhat excitement and confusion as to how I'm feeling right now. I so wish my wife could join me in this excitement. But at the same time, I feel that this is my time alone to enjoy what my body can do and relax. My day is finally here, taking the family to the airport, and then the fun begins. First, it's preparation time, and I'm already noticing that my pre-cum is oozing out, and I haven't even touched myself. I am preparing and performing my coffee enemas. I haven't had any sex or masturbated in 2 weeks. I even started my own video blog that I interview myself. I think that helps me self-soothe and resolve any tension. I'm even planning on maybe recording some of my solo play. Don't worry, my wife knows nothing about technology and will never find my videos. And even if she does, maybe that's a good thing. Now this wonderful, pleasure-filled day is over. And let me tell you, it was a workout. I am typing this the next day and my legs are so sore. I waited about 2 hours, as you recommended, after my enemas and put on a beautiful, black, full crotchless teddy. Turned on some sexy, relaxing music using a playlist I made, then laid on the bed with 3 towels and lube ready to go. I promised myself that I would not touch my cock and try to just enjoy the moment. I used a Nexus Revo Stealth for about 20 minutes, which is a wireless massager that moves and vibrates at the same time on the prostate. The only bad thing is that it felt good, but after a few minutes, I also had to move it myself because it doesn't give me firm enough pressure to hit my spot. Then I set up my dildo and attached it with a harness to a firm pillow. I tried riding the dildo, but I just never got that feeling it was hitting my P-spot. The dildo is plenty long enough and wide, but still no luck. It was fun, but I was sweating like crazy, and that gave me a great workout. So I then stopped with the dildo and went back to the Nexus. I finally finished myself off, but had one of the most strongest orgasms. I might be able to fit in a couple more sexy nights with myself before my family is back and my private time will be over. What can I do moving forward? How can I find time in my schedule? And how do I explain it to my wife that I need this for myself, even if she doesn't want to do it? I would one day like to enjoy anal play with my wife, and I want to make sure that I'm comfortable by myself first. Should I try something other than the realistic dildo for solo play? I heard on an old podcast you talked about the Tantus curve for guys that like it head on. Maybe something that my wife would eventually strap on a harness? How long do I need to massage my prostate to possibly have a prostate orgasm? Is there a way to stay hard while enjoying anal play? I just can't get hard while I stimulate my prostate. Thank you for reading my message and have a great day. And this is from Dennis. So, there's a lot of questions there, Dennis. First, I celebrate you. I celebrate you celebrating yourself. And it's so exciting that you feel it's like you have a date with yourself. It's so beautiful. And having a date with yourself and having sex with yourself is a pretty fucking awesome thing. So good for you, first of all. And good for you for finding those parts inside you and deciding that you wanted to express them some more. So let's start with the questions here. What can you do moving forward? Okay, you wrote this letter a little while ago. They are probably back from vacation at this point in time. But if you mean, what can you do moving forward now that they're home? Well, one of the things that I would recommend is to have a conversation with your wife about it. I don't know any kind of history about what kind of sexual relationship you two have or how much exploring you've done. I don't know, for example, if she's ever played with your ass, put a finger inside, or you've played with hers, put a finger inside, or maybe fucked her in the ass. If those things have happened with your wife, then that's kind of a foot in the door. Because one of the things that I find helps get someone interested in doing this and gets past a lot of the fears and misconceptions is information and education. So you can explain to her that you discovered that there's a spot in your ass that is just as pleasurable as her G-spot. And hopefully she is a G-spot kind of woman and has had that kind of pleasure. And if not, then get to it, dude, and see what you can do. And so, you know, that's the first step. So once you've done a little bit of that, maybe she's giving you a blowjob, maybe, you know, you guys are just doing foreplay, and you can ask her to play with your ass a little bit. And after that, you can explain to her that you found out this thing out about how there's so much pleasure with the prostate, right? Then have her listen to podcast number 112. If you've listened to all my podcasts, you've heard me talk about that podcast a lot of times. Please do listen to it yourself. You are the only one that can decide whether or not it's appropriate for your wife to listen to. But I do think it'll be a great introduction. She may still decide not to do it, but at the same time, what that will do is give her accurate information, and it will introduce all of those different fears and concerns she may have for you guys to talk about. You really like wearing the lingerie. I get the feeling she doesn't know about this. So that is one of the things that I mention. Most of the time in pegging porn, you will see the men dressed up as women. Is that something that has to happen? No, absolutely not. It might be a good idea to wait with the lingerie a little bit. Both at once might be a little bit much if she's really conservative and vanilla in bed. This way you don't have to have lots of super scary conversations, because while you're listening to podcast number 112, ideally with her, you can just stop that podcast and say, okay, so one of the concerns that you might think that I want you to tie me up and beat me, and I'm totally not into that, so you don't have to worry about that. Another concern is that you might think that I want to go off and find the real thing and have sex with a man. Totally not interested in that. Also, it emphasizes, if you've listened to it yet, which I hope you have, actually. I hope you've already listened to it. It emphasizes the relationship, because what you're really doing when you reveal all this to her is you're giving her a gift of intimacy, just like I told that guy in the very beginning, that his wife was doing for him, revealing a deeper layer of desire. I don't know how long you have been married, but it's totally common and normal for people to have sexualities that evolve and explore different parts, as opposed to stay into this little box their whole lives, their whole marriage together. So this is just one more thing you want to explore. She might be up for it, she might not, but I think podcast number 112 will help. As opposed to sneaking around all the time and trying to get the satisfaction yourself. Because, sure, you can take some private times and you can have some cool times to yourself that maybe are a little bit more abbreviated than this lovely segment of time of 10 days. However, the more you do that, what you're kind of doing is you're moving away from her and you are having this thing that you do that you haven't told her about, that you really enjoy, but that you feel like you have to keep secret and you feel like she might judge you. See what I mean? These are all bad energies to connect with this. This is something you want to celebrate with your body. I mean, when you tell her, you can even say, hey, while you were gone, I read this thing and it said you could have orgasms that are like 10 times as powerful if you put something in your ass and jerk off at the same time. And holy crap, they were right. I'm so excited about this. I am so excited. I can't begin to tell you. Will you explore this with me? And you can approach it just with this enthusiasm and excitement. Now, as always, I advise that you have your side of the street wonderfully clean and awesome, meaning you are the guy that makes sure you are helpful around the house, that you're supportive, and you rock her world sexually. You make sure that she gets everything she wants and then some, that she is very, very satisfied. Because if she is very, very satisfied, she's going to be more in a mood to listen to what you want because she's getting what she wants. If you're not sure what she wants, that's another conversation you need to have before you start any of this. Communication in bed is essential for pegging because pegging is a varsity sexual activity, basically. It really is. You need to be able to already communicate in bed. You need to be able to talk about things, debrief afterwards and say, so we tried this new thing. What did you think? Well, when you did this, that was a little weird because it sort of felt like that. See what I mean? You need to be able to talk like this. You also need to be able to talk about it in the moment. You need to be able to say, okay, I need to stop this and change this because the energy's not right with you doing that way. I think I'd like it better this way. These are the kinds of, well, let's see, how do I put this? This is the level of communication I would love for you to have already in bed before you start to explore something new. But clearly this is something that has really captured you and that you're really enjoying and that you'd love to explore with her. I can hear it in your letter how much you would desire to have your wife into this. And who knows, she might surprise you. Okay, other questions that you have. Should you try something other than the realistic dildo for solo play? Well, okay, look, for solo play, sometimes it's really cool to have a dildo with a handle. So I'm going to put links to all the different handled ones. Some are bigger, some are smaller, and there's one that's quite rigid. It sounds like you need something that is more rigid. However, one of the things I would like to point out is that Revo Stealth, it's a vibrating toy. Many times men talk about using vibrations on their prostate and that it kind of numbs it out after a bit, that they don't necessarily like it. Now, that's just some men. There's a whole lot of other men out there that love those vibrations, but it's possible that that's what happened. So then you felt like you needed something more intense. The cool thing about the dildos with the handle is it just makes it easier to fuck yourself, basically. It really does. So I'm going to put the links to all of those. And I'm going to also put the link to this Tantus Curve. This is definitely a toy for someone who likes a lot of prostate stimulation. And yes, that is something that your wife could eventually strap on a harness. Let's see, how long do you need to massage your prostate to possibly have a prostate orgasm? You know what? I'm going to refer you to the write-up that this guy did off of Reddit that I found and read in podcast number 207. You may not have listened to that already, but at the end of the podcast, this guy does this very specific description of how he has trained himself to have prostate orgasms. Now, this isn't going to work for everybody, and he's quite clear about that, but he says, you know, this is how I do it. And as opposed to hammering away at it, he suggests that it's something that many times is a little more subtle. It's hard to say, but then I know that there's guys out there that hammer away at it, and that's how they get there. So there you go. How long do you need to massage your prostate to possibly have a prostate orgasm? I don't have a clue, because everybody's very individual around all of this. What I do know is that if you are feeling a bunch of pleasure, then just feel the pleasure. And I wrote down what the guy said about it. He said, if you feel nice sensations, but you don't seem to be getting anywhere, Don't change the tactic. Just keep generating those nice feelings and enjoy them for what they are. Because he said it took some time for him to actually learn how to, and it's about 3 years he's been doing this. It's a journey, absolutely. Let's see, is there a way to stay hard while enjoying anal play? Not necessarily. Some men have erections that come and go. Some men are hard the whole time, and some men could not get hard if their life depended on it. So you may be in that last category. I don't have any magic thing for you to get hard while you are getting prostate stimulation. It's possible that if you leave the toy in there and don't move it around and start jerking off, that may make it easier to get hard. But then again, that may not work at all either. So sometimes that's just what you have. That's the way that your body works. It's not going to get hard. At the same time, men who have that situation and can't get hard while they're getting pegged or while they're fucking their ass and doing prostate stimulation oftentimes will report that they still can have an orgasm even when their cock is soft. And I think that is all of your questions. Again, I celebrate you. I'll put the link to 112 in the Linkorama. Good luck to you. Please do let us know how it goes and when we can play the music for you. I think this could be the beginning of a lovely exploration with you and your wife. Okay, let's see here. Now I'm going to do an announcement that is for one of the listeners here who has contributed a few times, and he sent me this thing that I want to help him with. It says, help needed for a sexy documentary. Midwest, United States of America, and then he's got some phone area codes to help you place it a little bit better. 816-913-715 are even better. And then he introduces himself. Hi, I'm an indie filmmaker in my spare time and have many short films and a feature-length documentary to my name. I'm currently in the research stage of my next project. Allow me to explain. Somewhere out there, people are getting kinky. Quiet, unassuming, quote, good people, end quote, are having sex that only, quote, those kind of people, end quote, have. So why aren't we talking about it? Who I'm looking for? I am looking for people who lead a seemingly vanilla life, who like to get kinky behind closed doors. People who have told no one. People who have told nobody about the sex they secretly enjoy. People who love the fact they're doing something that good people shouldn't do. I'm specifically seeking couples because there's no lack of single horny people on the internet. What I would like to discuss. Are you scared that people might find out your kink? That your friends and family discover what you and your partner do? Do you love the feeling of having really dirty sex on a Saturday and then going into church on Sunday morning? And in the parentheses he puts, a personal fave of mine. Here's another headline. Kinks I'm trying to find. Light to medium BDSM/bondage. Voyeurism. Couples or singles who webcam together. Discreet swingers. Hot wife. Cucks. Rope bunnies. Pegging/strap-on sex. Spanking. Foot fetish. Sensation play. And then again, all in caps. It is really important. I'm already meeting with people who are actively open about their kinks. Swingers, poly, etc. I'm looking for those of you, and I know you're out there because I'm one of them, who has told only a few very close and very discreet friends about our kinky life. Or those of you who have told nobody about what a kinkster you are. Those of you who scroll Tumblr/Reddit looking for ideas but could never bring yourself to meet other people in the real world for a fear of the repercussions you would face. Let's talk. Online first, then maybe in person over coffee or a drink. And then if you get brave enough to confess your kinks, telling your story may be very freeing. The point is, good people are having wonderfully kinky, mostly monogamous sex and loving it, but they're too scared to tell anyone about it. Let's change that. And then he's got contact info. If you're in the 816-913-785 area and would be interested in a project like this, message me on FetLife or find me on Twitter. And I'm going to put all of that in the Linkorama, of course. And then this last part is really important. I am not trying to find people to fuck. I am trying to find smart people to talk to about fucking. Spread the word. Now, this sounds like a really interesting documentary. The only part that concerns me is if you're one of those people that hides it all the time, how would you feel if you talked about it on film? I mean, I'm assuming that this filmmaker has ways of interviewing people so that they can stay anonymous. I think that that would be an essential component of this documentary. But I'm excited about the subject matter because there is so much sex negativity in our culture, in our society, that it just dismays me. So for the covers to be thrown back a little bit, to talk about how the regular people that you see in the grocery store are probably having kinky, dirty sex, by whatever definition you call kinky dirty, right, is a way cool thing because we all do it. We all love it. We all have fun with it. We're not all kinky and dirty, but, you know, people have sex and we just pretend it doesn't exist. But that's a whole nother subject. I'm going to put the contact information for anybody who's interested in this. And with luck, perhaps some of you listeners out there are in those area codes. Who knows? Okay, there you go. And let's go on to the next email. This is a short one. In podcast number 207, there was a woman that is 14 inches shorter than him who wrote you. My suggestion is for him to lie face down on the bed with his legs together. She straddles him, lies on top of him, then mounts him. A longer dildo helps here. It is my favorite because I love the woman's weight pinning me down. Works well even with plus-size ladies. Well, there you go. So that height discrepancy thing, there's one more suggestion for those of you who fall into that category. All right. Here is another one. This was in the forum. Almost there. Been working on a hands-free orgasm for a while. I naturally love the feeling of being pegged. Been toying around since high school, so I'm not exactly a novice. I'm currently working my way through the Doc Johnson American Bombshell collection. I've already tackled the B7 Warhead, Little Boy Plug, and have the Big Boy 12-incher on the way. I'm still looking for my perfect toy, though. I have still yet to experience the intense hands-free orgasm, but today was pretty damn close. I started riding the B7 Warhead, and the three bulbous heads hit my P-spot just right. I was leaking pre-cum all over the place, left a huge puddle on my towel. It felt so damn good, but unfortunately, I couldn't hit a climax. It felt good, but I kept craving something bigger, so we'll see how I do with the big boy. Has anyone else had a hard time achieving a hands-free and used bigger toys to get there? I've tried just about every prostate massager out there, and none of them can get me remotely close. They just are not big enough. So, thank you so much for all of that information and for the question. The first thing I'm going to say, and you people who have listened to my podcast for a long time know I'm going to say this, please don't buy Doc Johnson toys. They're horrible. They're awful. They're PVC. PVC, by definition, has plasticizers in it to make it a little bit less hard than the PVC, for example, you might have with your plumbing pipes, okay? You don't want something that hard going in and out of your ass, so they use plasticizers to soften up that PVC. Not only is PVC porous, but to the plasticizers to soften it up is what the toxic stuff is. It has phthalates, and the phthalates are the stuff that they have banned in children's toys and pet toys, so you don't want to be putting shit like that up your ass. Yes, Doc Johnson sells these. Yes, they say they're body safe. But, you know, toys are unregulated. They're classified as a novelty. So they've got an out. They have a legal out. They don't really care if it makes you sick. This is why I won't do business with Doc Johnson. So I did some research because clearly you would like a big toy. And I have some suggestions for you. Absolutely. Oh, and one of the things I'm going to give you a link to is they have some icons that relate to the material that the toy is made of, and one says PVC. So if you click into that, it has all the icons and the different definitions of what they are. If you will take note, some of the other icons that they have say no phthalates. It does not say that on the PVC. So just want to mention that. But two things. One is listen to the end of that podcast 207 where the guy's talking about the subtlety of how he reaches prostate orgasm. That may not be for you. You may be someone who needs a really big toy. But that'd be a good thing to listen to just to give you an idea of the variety of different ways that you can get there, you know, because you said you've tried all kinds of things and you feel like you just need a bigger toy. I know that there are men out there who have achieved that prostate orgasm from getting a bigger toy. I'm certain of that. They've written in and told me about it. So it's possible that that is how you work. So there is a butt plug I'm going to ask that you take a look at called the Rosebud butt plug, and it's made by Oxballs. And this came from a dominant woman whose sub would have multiple prostate orgasms when he used this thing. This was some time ago in a different podcast. And so Tiffany and I went ahead and put it up on Entice Me for anybody who is a larger toy player. The small size of it is 2.5 inches diameter closed. And then what it does is it kind of blooms. This is why it's called the Rosebud. It's three pieces that come together when you put it in, and then it opens up when it's inside you and becomes a 3-inch diameter toy. And then I'm also going to direct you to some of the toys that have handles. One of the biggest toys that has a handle is the Anaconda, and that is 1.75 inches in diameter. That is not quite what you're looking for, because I know you want something around 2 inches, but it's possible that with a handle on it, you would be able to manipulate that toy to your satisfaction, as opposed to having to ride it or having to reach down between your legs with something that is not as long. It's possible that the handle will make it that much more effective so that it doesn't have to be a really big diameter toy. Those two things are possibilities. And I believe that this posting in the forum was all the way back from May. I am still doing cleanup work, trying to get all of the messages that were posted. My apologies that this was not even answered until now. And if you have found the magic thing, please do let us know if you've gotten there with a bigger toy or if that big boy thing worked. I would love to find something for you that's not a toxic toy that is the same size as whatever works for you. Okay, and all of the links to those things are going to be in the Linkorama, the Rosebud plug, and also all the handled dildos. You said you've tried just about every massager out there, and so I'm assuming that you've tried the really rigid ones where it's meant to be something where you can put it inside you, and that rigid end that's inside you, you can give yourself some really intense prostate stimulation. The very best toy for that is the Enjoy Pure Wand. Since you said that you've tried just about all the prostate massagers out there, I wouldn't be surprised if you've already tried it, but the Enjoy Pure Wand has one end that's 1 inch in diameter and the other is 1.5 inches. So if you really enjoy that firmness and that solid feel as opposed to a dildo that is squishier and you really like the firmness, maybe you've tried the prostate massagers and the ones that are rigid like the stainless steel, like the Enjoy Pure Wand. You like that feeling. Well, I'm not sure if you knew, but they do make a bigger toy called the Enjoy 11. It's freaking huge. One end of it is 1.75 inches and the other end is 2.0 inches. It's stainless steel. You cannot put it in your carry-on luggage if you fly somewhere because it absolutely can be used as a weapon. So that is something that is quite extraordinary and will definitely fit the bill of size-wise for you to try self-exploration if the stainless steel is something that your body really seems to like. Okay, those are the best suggestions I have for you. Thank you so much for the question. And again, let us know if you already found something that got you there. And also, just enjoy all the pleasurable sensations and try and let go of the goal-oriented thing, because a lot of guys say that's when it finally happens, is that, you know, they just stop trying to get there and know that they're just going to feel amazing. And then one day they get there. So there's that thought too. Okay. Now, back in podcast number 206, there was the guy that wrote in about the fisting. And he mentioned that even though he and his wife have been doing all kinds of things for some time, they thought they'd just sit down and listen to podcast number 112. And he wrote and commented on that. Podcast number 112 was very entertaining for both of us. We've been pegging since we met, so there was a lot of laughing and giggling about some of the misconceptions women may have about the subject. Not to make fun of people, but just enjoying our own lack of inhibitions with each other. We also talked about some fantasy play we've been threatening to incorporate, but just haven't gotten around to yet. My wife and I both enjoy the power exchange we experience with pegging. As I've let on before, I'm in a chastity cage fairly regularly. It's been an on-off thing since we met. We both want to get more serious about it, but we've recently moved 2,000 miles and purchased a new home and new jobs and. I guess we just need to make it a priority. We've been talking about getting a Prince Albert piercing for me. That makes the chastity cage a whole lot more serious. Without getting into our personal medical stuff too much, I need to go see Dr. Von Schnipschnip and make sure she can't get pregnant again. We are in our mid-40s. Our kids are grown, have successful careers, and have moved out. The benefits of me having this simple and inexpensive outpatient surgery far outweigh the risks of her continued use of birth control at this age. She needs to let her body wind down naturally as we approach this middle, later stage in life. The chemicals involved with the birth control are said to present risks and problems for women at this stage, so a natural slowing of the body would be best. I'm not about to go see that doctor with a Prince Albert piercing hanging out of my junk, so we have to prioritize things and get the operation before the piercing. It's scheduled for a few weeks from now. We did some mild strap-on play in the shower last night. There's a nice bench built into the shower wall, and it's perfect for bending over to rest your upper body on. I didn't go through my normal cleansing routine, just a good bowel movement beforehand, and then we were fine in the shower. Any mess was so insignificant we didn't even notice. She was having some issues slipping on the tile floor of the shower because of the lubricant, so she went and grabbed her beach sandals. Once she felt more stable on her feet, she started fucking me nice and slow. She went pretty deep, but always slow and easy, with some gentle grinding when she was buried all the way inside me. We have names for most of the primary dildos she uses to fuck me. Last night she was using Mr. White. It's a flesh-toned dildo about 7 inches long with big balls, and it's about 2.5 inches wide along the shaft. I can just barely take the whole length up to the balls. It kind of hurts so good when she buries it in me and grinds like that. It's not really pain, but a lot of pressure, and it's hitting all the right spots. I'm so lucky. Oh my goodness, I wanted to absolutely read you that. And to mention, for those of you who didn't know, he said something about the Prince Albert piercing and having it be more serious. Here's the deal about chastity cages. There are chastity cages who interact with a Prince Albert piercing so that you absolutely can't get it off. Like if you've got a silicone chastity cage, you can kind of cut it off if you want to, or some guys can even kind of pull their balls out of it. And it won't stay on very well, but the Prince Albert piercing makes it a done deal. Basically, that piercing is connected to the cage. So the only way that you can get the cage off is to unlock the piercing. This was talked about on the chat channel, and someone sent me a picture of how those work. And so I'm going to have to find one and put it up for you guys so you can take a look. I find it really fascinating. And just that, yes, it's another degree of seriousness. Absolutely. And the time in the shower sounds fabulous. Okay. That'll do it. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, check out my Facebook page. And if you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too weird, too wonderful, or too wacky. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox, or you can always call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you so much for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging.